The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Challenging times, we're all facing them, and Rocket Mortgage is there and prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Sorry, John, in Chicago, that I had to get you off so fast there off the air, because it was we were running up against the top of the hour there. Because that's one of the other big questions. And Anthony, you were just talking about it with me, is you would love to be a grill master someday. You'd love to be able to be that person at the grill.
Because I feel like, you know, you have these big parties, the backyard, the kind of the grill guy is kind of, you know, like
the stud.
The stud. He's there with the apron on and beer in one hand, flipping the burgers and the steaks and the hot dogs, you know.
Shirtless. With the apron on.
Shirtless with the apron on, flexing the muscles.
Yes, I mean,
guns off.
Exactly. I mean, this is where you're supposed to be. It's the I'm really enjoying it. If there's one thing, my favorite thing that's come out of the pandemic, I will absolutely, the best thing to come out of the pandemic for me has been learning how to get out there in the grill and at least trying something, because I am not somebody, take the curtain back, I am not someone who enjoys trying stuff, new stuff. If it's out of my comfort zone, I'm not exactly the most comfortable with it. And I like to be good at stuff. I like to do stuff that I'm good at. And the only way you're going to learn new things is get out there and trial and error. And I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
You doing shirtless grilling?
Oh, yeah, of course. I want to give the ladies in the community a little bit of a show, right? I mean, you gotta do something. Look, it's just my part in the pandemic. We gotta say, look, it's not a handsome industry I work in. Can I be honest? It's not a handsome industry. It's not exactly, you know, studs or us. It's very usually a lot of dopey looking guys. Let's put it this way. I think it's sports radio works for a lot of guys, because it's like they don't have to worry about their audience. Like the anchor man. Do you know any ugly anchor men?
I can think of maybe a couple.
Really? That are ugly? That are like, that a woman would say, oh God, that guy is just unattractive. That's rare. That's rare. Because you're supposed to be a little dreamy. You're supposed to be a little dreamy. You're supposed to, you know, have a certain quality to you. You know, that you either look very reassuring, like you're a very confident male, or you look a little dreamy. That's what you're supposed to be. I mean, that's the way it works. My buddy Rob Marciano does weather on Good Morning America and for ABC News. You know, do you know Rob? Rob's like all 6'3". Curly hair, great looking guy, charming. And the women just love Rob. He could be talking about death and destruction. And look, the women are watching it and they're going, isn't he cute? Wait a minute. He's in like knee deep water and there's a typhoon coming. But isn't he cute?
He's so dreamy.
Yes. I mean, it is. Well, I mean, there's certain looks. There's just this, like, there's the young, the stately looking anchor man. And then there's the dreamier looking anchor man. Look, that's what they go for. Now, look, we already know that the networks in news, they want the women to look that way. But for guys, now in sports radio, it's like the island of misfit toys. Look at these. They don't have a lot of photo shoots in radio. There's a reason.
They got a face for radio.
Yeah, there's an absolute reason for that. There's an absolute reason for that. And most of them, I would say, is another thing is, it's a bad hair industry. Would you not agree? It's a bad hair industry. You do not have a bunch of guys with great heads of hair.
Not like you.
That's why I'm glad to do my part. That's why I'm glad to do my little part. You know, just be able to help out people. Our toll-free line, by the way, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. I love this thing. How about a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that's going to last your full policy term? Visit geico.com/giveback for information and eligibility for you to be able to do that. So word happened on Friday afternoon. Have you ever heard of the Friday afternoon news dump? Well, that happens when a business, when the government, when a corporation, whatever it is, have bad news or potentially news that they do not want to hear a lot of clapback on, and they're hoping we'll just be able to slip it by the public. It usually happens on Friday afternoons. It's called the Friday afternoon news dump. Well, Jim Trotter, NFL.com columnist who does excellent work, and by the way, a sharp dress man. Greatly appreciate that. Jim Trotter has a piece he puts out on Friday afternoon that the NFL is looking to incentivize minority head coach and GM hires. And there's a great part of the rule that is going to be proposed that makes a ton of sense. The first is going to remove the longstanding anti-tampering barrier that permits clubs to block assistant coaches from interviewing for coordinator positions with other clubs, even though having coordinator experience is typically the final and most significant step in becoming a head coach. So, right there, no more being able to block assistant coaches from having the opportunity to interview. And giving coaches better opportunities to interview if they're active during the postseason. So if they're on one of the really good teams and they're a hot commodity, then they should be able to have more opportunity to interview, and that's what they're looking to get. That's what they're looking to do. I love that. Absolutely love it. And I don't know why this is something that even has to be put up to some sort of a resolution and vote. This should be something that it's not a barrier to keeping people from having a chance to advance their careers. But head coaches love to control members of their staff, and that's where it comes from. But here is another one. The other rule would incentivize the hiring of minorities as head coaches or primary football executives by rewarding teams with improved draft slots. If a team would hire a minority head coach, that team in the draft preceding the coach's second season would move up 6 spots from where it's slotted to pick in the third round. And a team would jump up 10 spots under the same scenario for hiring a person of color as its primary football executive, a position more commonly known as the general manager. And if a team were to fill both positions with diverse candidates in the same year, that club could jump 16 spots, 6 for the coach, 10 for the GM, and potentially move from the top of the third round to the middle of the second round. Another incentive. Jim Trotter, NFL.com. A team's fourth round draft pick would climb 5 spots in the draft, preceding the coach or GM's third year if he's still with the team. And it says that's considered significant because Steve Wilks and Vance Joseph, 2 of the 4 African-American head coaches hired since 2017, were fired after 1 and 2 seasons respectively. Okay, let me do a Google search. Steve Wilks, an absolute atrocious job as a head coach. Vance Joseph, my gosh, it has nothing to do with the color of their skin. It had to do with the performance on the field. This is crazy to me. This is crazy to me because, first of all, I think it's patronizing. Or patronizing, depending on what you choose. I don't in any way believe this doesn't seem like a good thing to me. Yes, you know, we feel that this is the way we need to change the rules. So if you have an organization and you've got a coach and GM that you like, you would be incentivized to fire them and hire a minority candidate in order to be able to improve yourself. Question. Question. I don't read first-time hires in any of this, okay? I don't read first-time hires in any of these new rule propositions. Unless I'm missing something, I don't see first-time hires. So, the Washington Redskins would have jumped up in this year's draft from their third-round pick to a second-round pick for hiring Ron Rivera? If the Pittsburgh Steelers parted ways with Mike Tomlin, I can tell you right now, and I've said it many times on this show, if I owned a franchise, Tomlin would be the kind of guy that I'd want to hire as my head coach. If he was available and I was an NFL, if I was an NFL owner, a candidate would have to absolutely blow my socks off to have me say, wait a minute, Mike Tomlin's available? Get me Mike Tomlin. So if a team, let's say the Steelers said, you know, Mike, we've done all we can do here in Pittsburgh. Let's move on. So if that happened, you're telling me the team that hires Mike Tomlin gets draft benefit by hiring one of the NFL's best coaches? By the way, I think Ron Rivera, I don't call him an elite head coach, but I think Ron Rivera was a good to very good at times head coach. So teams benefit from that also? There are ways to go about things. First of all, who are the candidates that are getting passed over as head coaches? By the way, if you give me Eric Bieniemy, which seems to be just the sports talk radio, national sports talk radio, it's Eric Bieniemy. It's Eric Bieniemy. He's the guy. It's Eric Bieniemy. Okay. You can recite his name over and over to me. And I will just ask you, as far as Eric Bieniemy, I think he could be a fantastic coach. He's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. May I ask you, do you believe Andy Reid is the mastermind of the Chiefs offense, or do you believe Eric Bieniemy is? Be honest. Do you believe Andy Reid is the mastermind of the Kansas City Chiefs offense, or do you believe Eric Bieniemy is? Now, guess what? That's not a knock on Eric Bieniemy, because a lot of guys get hired. Look at Nick Saban assistants. In college football, Nick Saban assistants ascend to head coaching jobs because of the fact that they've worked under Nick Saban. That's good enough for a lot of schools to say, hey, we can't hire Nick Saban, but we can get a guy who's worked for Nick Saban, who understands how he does things, and then he'll bring his own sort of slice of originality to it. But seriously, folks, let's think about this. This rule, it's crazy to me. Because are you telling me, show me where the Rooney rule doesn't work? Give me the candidates. Tell me the guys. Tell me the specific candidates that are getting screwed over by NFL owners that deserve to be NFL head coaches that haven't gotten their opportunity. I love removing the barriers of guys being able to interview for roles. Love it. Makes total sense. But when challenged, and I've heard callers with it, well, Eric Bieniemy. Dude, okay, first of all, you don't know jack about what Eric Bieniemy can do as a head coach. Because you know what? You've never seen it. Now, that doesn't mean that a guy has never been a head coach that they can't be a great head coach. In fact, I'm thinking of John Harbaugh. I'm thinking of Doug Peterson, just for two examples. Two Super Bowl winning coaches who were never even coordinators in the NFL. True coordinators, meaning John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. I guess you call it a coordinator. Special teams. Brilliant. He's done a great job as a head coach. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. But if you believe anybody in an organization that has Andy Reid as the head coach is masterminding the offense and drawing up the offensive plays and is the genius behind it, and Andy Reid's the head coach, I'm going to tell you, you're not paying attention. If you actually believe that Big Red is saying, I know my expertise is offense. And I know I'm like a like one of the best in the NFL and arguably in the history of the NFL at offensive football. But you know what? I'm going to just turn it over here to a coordinator. I'm not really leading the show anymore. I'm just going to sit back and let someone else do it. BS. That's ridiculous. You want to join us? Love to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. It's great to say that assistants deserve their chance to ascend. That's awesome. But please, who are the candidates? Why is this a cavalcade of who are the candidates that are being passed over or screwed over? Because, and our team's going to benefit. If the Redskins hired Ron Rivera, they'd get a benefit this year. They would have gone from the third round to the second round. They would have had an extra second round pick. So that means you're dumping a team, you're pushing a team back in the draft order because they hired a great coach, like a very good coach, like Ron Rivera, or hired Mike Tomlin? Give me a break. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, the bandwagon effect appears to be in effect up in a part of the country we never would have expected it. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
You know, today at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, you can tune into CBS Sports Network as the best bull riders take the grand stage in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Hold on tight and see who earns the victory and inches closer to the top of the leaderboard. Don't miss PBR Lucas Oil Invitational on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Appreciate you hanging out with the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. And I thank you sending me along stuff on like the reverse sear and everything like that. You people are amazing. But some of you want to look, the idea of like removing restrictions on assistant coaches, being able to interview, time restrictions, coaches not being able to restrict people from interviewing for jobs, that sounds awesome to me. The idea that we need now another rule, in addition to the Rooney rule, we need another rule that's going to allow teams to jump other franchises in line in the draft, which is supposed to be the competitive balance for the league. That's the whole idea. And that's why the NFL is the number one sport in America, and it ain't close. My wife hates it when I say ain't. That's why I say it on the radio and don't say it at home. It ain't close. The NFL dominates. Why? Because there is competitive balance. When you're bad, you get a chance to get good. And you're telling me that people should be able to jump the line just because of the skin color or racial background of the person that they're hiring for the job? That's craziness. To me, might not be to you. 855-212-4CBS. Jerry in Detroit joins us. Jerry, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm pretty good. Give me a second. I'm out here walking on the track, so I'm out of breath a little bit.
But it's okay,
please, sir. I mean, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
The idea of people jumping people along the line, that's been happening in this country ever since the inception. Now, let's be serious about that. Now, let me ask you, sir. You know it's been like that, and it ain't been us that's been jumping the line. Let me say something. I heard you say, and I
do. Jerry,
you.
Have I been jumping the line? I just want to. I want to figure out who they are.
This country is replete with people who have been jumping the line since an inception. You know
that. So you don't like that. Wait, Jerry, relax for a second. Just talk.
Yes, sir.
Have a conversation. So you don't like that practice, right?
Of course not. But you
okay, well, then we're not doing it then, right?
It's never happened before.
Jerry, you don't like the practice. So we're not going to do it anymore, right? You don't like it?
No. Once we've got ourselves established, let's cut it off.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. So wait a minute. You don't like jumping the line, but you're okay to have this jumping of the line.
Let me explain something to you. No, I'm not okay. And I've gotten you got me emotional this morning. I've gotten to a point in this country a long time ago. I stopped getting emotional about this because they're going to do what they're going to do in this country.
Who is they? Who is they?
The people that are in power. Come on, why do we act ignorant now?
You can't do that, Jerry. I'm trying to have a real conversation with you on this.
Okay, let's have a real conversation.
So, like, the idea is that who is they?
The people in power, sir. They don't like people. Let me tell you something. We are in a
who
situation.
Who is they? Who are they? Tell me, give me some names. Give me some examples.
Owners,
put some names to it.
People in charge. Owners.
Okay.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one. Let me ask you a question. Do you think a black man with the resume, a Kingsbury would have got that, got a job? You see his resume?
Of Cliff Kingsbury? I think Kingsbury, and Jerry, I'm going to let you go, get back to your walk, good job. Cliff Kingsbury, when Cliff Kingsbury was hired, if you listen to this show, I said, why is Cliff Kingsbury getting that job? But it was obvious why he was getting the job. People saw what was happening with young quarterbacks and dynamic offenses, and they were saying, who's a guy who does that sort of air raid type offense? Who knows it and who brings it to the NFL? But if you listen to this show, I questioned the Cliff Kingsbury hire. I questioned it. I didn't question it because he's white. I don't believe Cliff Kingsbury was getting the job because they said he's white. I mean, be honest here. If you're going to keep it honest, and Jerry, if you're going to call up and you're going to be that animated because people have been jumping the line forever and you don't like it, then don't call up and advocate a system that's trying to be put in place in 2020 for people to jump the line. That doesn't make any sense to me. Anthony in Miami joins us. Anthony, what's going on this morning?
Better not, man. Thank you for putting that guy in his place. I mean, you come out on the radio making statements like that. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, Anthony, I'm not going to let people come on the radio and go, well, they. And I'm like, who's they? Tell me.
I mean, if you're going to be that blatant, just say what you're thinking. But
correct.
Don't speak in code. But on the topic of the coaches, my whole thing is, listen, you guys want the best guy. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I do not care of the color of my head coach's skin. And if that is your main priority when hiring a coach, then you're on the wrong page. You've got the wrong problem. And the fact that the NFL is going to incentivize that is, in my opinion, even worse.
Can I ask you something? As a Dolphin fan, did you even think about the color of the skin of the guy when the Dolphins were making a hire, the color of the skin of the guy they were going to hire? Did that even come into your mind?
Didn't even matter. The crazier part was that he's from Honduras.
Yes.
That part blew my mind.
I mean, to me, I've never even thought of that as, man, I'd really like, I hope the Sixers hire the best white coach they can.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't come into your mind.
We live now in a world of such double standard where it's so easy to play the victim. And
well, Anthony, the only thing I'll say to that is, and I appreciate your call. The only thing I'll say to that is that there's a lot of people, though, who look at it differently, and I can understand at times why they look at it differently. In 2020? No. I mean, one thing I'm not going to put up with, and I'm just not. You're not coming on with the people in power, the people that, look, stop. Just say what you mean. Brian in Kentucky joins us. Brian, what's going on? You're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you this morning?
Grilling tip, John.
Oh, really? Okay, give it to me. Now, wait. Now, first of all, can I ask you a couple questions? How do I, if I'm going to cook like some New York strip steak?
Okay.
What do I want my grill heated to before I put the steaks on?
800.
800?
Yes. You got the wrong kind of grill. Send it to Anthony in New York and get yourself one of those ceramic grills that uses lump charcoal. And then,
oh, no. But I mean, I can see my temperature gauge to 800, but I would think that would burn. I would have thought
800. You can't get to 800 with propane.
Well, it's I think it goes to, maybe it goes to, the little meter goes to six. I don't know if it, whatever it goes
to 4 to 450, but go lump charcoal. Send your other one to Anthony.
To Anthony.
To a neighbor.
Ship it up. And then, all right. And wait a minute. So when you're cooking a steak, do you cook it a certain amount of minutes on one side and then just flip it once?
If it's 800 degrees, it's 3 minutes. Flip it once. 3 minutes to a side.
And okay, what if it was? Like, what if you could get? What if you only could get it to like 500 degrees?
Well, then you'll have to go 4 minutes. But
okay,
keep the lid
but
down
you just
so it doesn't
keep.
Flare.
But keep the lid down and just flip it once.
Yeah, so it doesn't flare up and score it.
You're the man. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Mike in Pensacola, Florida, joins us. Oh, mic dropped. How about Remy in Ventura, California? Remy, what's going on, brother?
I'm telling you, John, you are bringing up some very interesting, and to me, it's poetic. Listen, what this guy's doing from the Marlins, Devil Rays.
You mean from the Rays, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? He's starting a whole new ball game of dissension and prejudice. Look at these callers that are coming in. It's bringing up the evil again. Hey, listen, I'm 50, 66 years old. I was around when busing started. Neither side liked it. But however we went through it, we got to this point. And these people, like that gentleman in Florida, he is starting a whole new ball game. It's going to crush baseball.
Well, hopefully it doesn't. And look, and I appreciate your call. Here's what I'm going to say is, Blake Snell doesn't speak for his peers. In fact, I can tell you, speaking to a couple Major League Baseball players this week, when I asked, what's your thought on his comments? They're both like, I wish he would shut up. Because then I'm going to have to answer for it eventually. They don't want to be represented by Blake Snell, bro. I'm risking my life, bro. Bro, I'm being asked to risk my life to play baseball. You are so... Seriously, and I see media members who are actually backing this. So what do you think about the person working at Walmart every day, stocking the shelves? What do you think about the person at your local supermarket? By the way, people who have worked the entire pandemic. And then we're going to get to the people on the front lines. What do you think about EMTs, nurses, doctors, lab techs? The office personnel that has to process all the paperwork and the testing. The people on the actual front lines. And Blake Snell is sitting playing video games in his house with millions to his name. He didn't think making $2 million this year or $3 million. Hey, that's not worth it, man. It's not worth it. But if you paid me $5 million, then it might be worth it. My gosh. It's unbelievable. And players don't want to be identified with him or by him.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
And I so appreciate that you do the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. A gentleman saying, you say you're from Philadelphia. Where are you from in Philadelphia? He's heard me mention it before. I am from a town called Broomall, Pennsylvania. 19008. Which, if you notice, they never did a show like 90210 about 19008. Because it truly is in like the heart of Delco. And if you don't know Delco, just Google Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey. Tina Fey from Delco also. So she is also from the same county I come from. And when you're in the heart of Delco, there's certain dialects, there's certain things. So they didn't do a 90210 about Delco. Go watch the Saturday Night Live skit where Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon. I know they re-brought it together. Jimmy came back and did it before the Super Bowl. When the Eagles were in the Super Bowl a few years back, it's pretty funny stuff. So 19008. And if you go on the internet, you can find they list like the most famous residents of to come out of Broomall, Pennsylvania. Danny Bonaducci of the Partridge Family. He's one. One town over, we had Joey Lawrence from Blossom. But Danny Bonaducci, and then myself, and David Miscavige, the father of Scientology right now. So I guess this is sort of like a religious cult of its own doing here on the John Kincaid Show. Before I get to the calls, real quickly. The bandwagon effect? Patriot fans, you got to do better than this, right? You know it's been a hot ticket. Tickets to the Patriots have been hot. Because, you know, they've been great for a generation. A generation defined by 20 or 21 years, depending on who you ask. The Patriots have been great for a generation. And now we're seeing on the secondary market, Patriots tickets are 17 slots lower than they've been in 17 years, 18 years. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that fans are going to jump off the bandwagon that fast in New England? Tell me bandwagoners aren't. Oh, wait a minute. You see, if you're old enough and you can remember, the Patriots used to be the team with the worst attendance in the NFL. Yep. Early 90s. So we're not talking about the dark ages. Early 90s, worst attendance in the NFL. So don't tell me they're going to jump off the bandwagon because Tom Brady's gone. My gosh. That's almost worse than the myth of Red Sox Nation. Like, I remember when there wasn't a Red Sox Nation. I remember when you could go to a Yankee game, buy a ticket, and pretty much sit almost anywhere you wanted. Message being, it's not busting on Patriots fans only. It's that when things are going well, fan bases love to point to other fan bases and be like, oh, we got such a great fan base. And you guys can't even fill your stadiums and stuff. Just remember, Yankees used to not draw. When they sucked, you could go sit anywhere you wanted. Mets, even worse than that. The Boston Red Sox, please. We would take the train up to Boston, get a ticket, and sit almost anywhere we wanted. And the Patriots had the worst attendance in the NFL, I believe, 2 out of 3 seasons in the early 90s. Scott in Texas joins us. Scott, you're on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, John. I got to tell you, man, I'm a very loyal listener of The Ticket in Dallas.
Oh, man, that is... Do you know, now, if you're a loyal listener to The Ticket, do you know... Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy!
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
Mike
Thompson. That's Mike Thompson, yeah. the guy who first hired me to do a radio show. How about that?
Well, but I got to tell you, there is no show that I look forward to more every week than yours. So it's the one time I go away from the dial and I listen to your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Every Sunday morning.
And by the way, the people on The Ticket, that is a freak show of fun. They do some great work. I'm honored to even be mentioned in the same sentence as that station.
Yeah. And you're the one show that I turn away from it 7 days a week.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
So, I mean, with a time without sports, what a wild week of news.
Isn't it?
It's crazy. But the one that I had to read it twice because I thought it was like a post from The Onion or something. When I read this NFL proposal, I think this is a good example of, hey, let's just throw enough stuff on the wall and see what sticks. You're absolutely right. Removing the restrictions, fantastic.
That should be done. That should be done immediately.
Yes. Absolutely. But you mentioned patronizing. I think it's offensive to those minorities who are qualified. And look, I'm 57 years old. The worst thing that's ever happened to this country is quotas of any kind. I don't care what the job is. Someone should be hired based on merit, not race.
Well, the only thing I'll say to you on that, and I got to run, Scott. The only thing I'll say to you on that is that if someone got an opportunity benefiting from a quota, they would have a different outlook on it because they would say it opened the door for me, and then that opens the door for the next generation and everything. So I understand where you're coming from. I don't agree on that point necessarily, but as I said to the man from Detroit, if you're going to call up red-faced complaining about the fact that people have been jumping in line forever in United States history, and then you're going to tell me that you are in favor of a system that allows people to jump in line, that makes no sense to me. If you're complaining that people park in the handicap spots at Walmart to get closer when they can't find a spot, and they'll park in a handicapped spot, they don't belong there. And then you go and park in it? Well, they do it, so I'm going to do it too. Then I don't even have to hear. I can't take your point of view and believe it's true. Mac in Alaska joins us. Mac, good morning. How are you, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing today, John?
Good to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Yeah, so I just wanted to touch up real quick, and then I'll be on my way. But about this, the change to the Rooney Rule, it just shows how not serious the NFL is about this idea of how they're addressing the race issue. If they were serious, if you take a look at when LeBron James opened up his school, one of the things that was amazing that he did is he was providing food to the people at the school. He was providing free bikes, transportation, and outreach programs for the parents of the school. And a draft pick, how is a change in a draft choice supposed to do anything to address what, you know, something as big as like the race issues that come?
It's not, you mean, what you're saying is it's not it's not going to directly benefit as far as it could benefit the franchise, but it doesn't help the minority candidates. Am I getting you right?
Well, yeah, that's one way to put it, but it's just a huge, all in all, my conclusion is it's just such a false sense of like, okay, we're just going to do this real quick, so maybe we can throw it on some commercial, you know.
Right. Okay. I get you. All right, buddy. Take care, Mac. Appreciate it. Raphael in Vermont joins us. Raphael, are you dancing with Jordan tonight or what?
Hey, guys. How are you? I watch it, but I don't know. I'm going to say something I would like to know how you feel about. The more I watch all the episodes of The Last Dance, the person that benefits the more is Scottie Pippen, because that thing proved none of that thing could happen without Scottie. He was the constant. Jordan was the superstar, but if you talk to all the players, if you talk to all the coaches, the person they revere, the person that kept that float going was Scottie Pippen. And what do you think? Do you think I'm wrong?
Well, I think Scottie Pippen. How about this? If you're telling me I have a greater appreciation of Scottie Pippen and his role in those championships after watching this, is that's yeah. I have a greater appreciation of it because I've tended to not downplay Scottie, but not look at him the same way. I got to say that. So if that's what your point is, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, you put it better, because if you see, Jordan was kind of a disruptive force in the locker room, but because the fighting, all those things, but the person that really sued everybody, keep everybody, that was the go-to guy, right, was Scottie. That's
there you go.
All right.
Raphael, enjoy it tonight. Enjoy it. I'll say what I thought about it all along. The Michael Jordan docu-series or whatever they're calling it, documentary, when you have editorial control, it's not a documentary. It's not. If one day, and Anthony, I'm sure that they're going to want to do a 10-part series on my radio career, right? Someday, ESPN.
ESPN 30 for 30.
Yeah, they're probably going to do it. Yeah, they're probably, of course they are, right?
Absolutely,
of course.
Yeah.
Well, if I get editorial control over the content, that's not a documentary. Because the times that I go off on you and tell you you're an idiot and scream and demean you, I'm not letting that be a part of the show.
Yeah, you're going to want them to cut out my interview that they do with me.
Yeah, no, I'm going to edit your interview.
Yeah.
So when you say, like, John was nice that day, and you bring up a story, like when they say to you, tell us it's a story when John was really nice to you, I'll make sure that that's the story that gets, and I'll have it written that Anthony Pierno said, working with John was a pleasure. And then you tell the nice story. And we cut out the 90 minutes of all the negative stuff. So, Kevin in Ocean City, New Jersey. Little Mac and Manco on the boardwalk there. Little Bob's Grill.
Yeah, why not?
Bob's Grill at 14th Street. You could go right down there.
Yeah. Here's my thing. What I'm saying is we're not going to have fans. Okay, I understand that. And the stadium's going to be pretty quiet because of no fans.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying mic the players up. I'm saying use those microphones that you can point at the players so we can hear what's going on.
I like the idea. No. I like the idea that you just said that you said you're not saying. I would love the idea of miking up the players more.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Because of the salty language, sometimes miking can get a little out of hand with the
kids. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is if you have those, I don't want you to know what you call them. You're in the business, you know. Those microphones, those things you could point at people and they can hear.
They're called boom mics.
Boom mics. Use those. So if things get a little too salty, you just go away from it. You point in another direction, and that's when the commentator takes over. But the point is to bring another dimension to the game. We can actually hear what they're saying.
That's awesome.
You know,
Mike,
what they're saying.
Let me ask you. I saw pictures from my cousin yesterday. Cousins down in Sea Isle City. In Ocean City, what were the beaches like yesterday?
Actually, I wasn't in town yesterday. But
oh,
I haven't been on the boardwalk in a while because I've been so busy. But
you're working hard.
Not really, but I'm not in Ocean City. I'm not in Ocean City a lot. I move around quite a bit.
All right. Well, take care of yourself. I got to run because it's the top of the hour. But appreciate it. Stay safe. And I saw my cousins down in Sea Isle City yesterday, putting out pictures. So Anthony, you got that beach body ready, ready? I mean, because now you're going to be able to hit the beach.
I'm ripped, ready to go.
Ripped and ready to go. All that Orange Theory or whatever you used to do, being put to work. You're going to look great out there. You're going to be killing it on the Bumblebee. All right, we don't have a lot of time. We only have an hour to go. What are we going to get into on the John Kincaid Show next hour? Well, I'm sure it's going to create a lot of controversy and fun. Lincoln Riley, stop hiding out. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.